Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Bird Construction third quarter financial results conference call and webcast. We will begin with Teri McKibbon, President and Chief Executive Officer's presentation, which will be followed by a question-and-answer session. Analysts who wish to ask a question should have their webcast muted when dialing into the conference number provided. At any time during the presentation today, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad to be placed into the question queue. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. When we are ready for questions, you will be introduced into the conference in the order that you were received. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star then two. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode and the webcast is being recorded. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star then zero. Before commencing with the conference call, the company reminds those present that certain statements which are made express management's expectations or estimates of future performance and thereby constitute forward-looking information. Forward-looking information is necessarily based on a number of estimates and assumptions that, while considered reasonable by management, are inherently subject to significant business, economic, and competitive uncertainties and contingencies. Management's formal comments and responses to any questions you might ask may include forward-looking information. Therefore, the company cautions today's participants that such forward-looking information involves known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause the actual financial results, performance, or achievements of the company to be materially different from the company's estimated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking information. Forward-looking information does not guarantee future performance. The company expressly disclaims any intention or obligation to update or revise any forward-looking information, whether as a result of new information, events, or otherwise. In addition, our presentation today includes references to a number of financial measures which do not have standardized meanings under IFRS and may not be comparable with similar measures presented by other companies and are therefore considered non-GAAP measures. I would like to turn the call over to Teri McKibbon, President and CEO of Bird Construction. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Operator. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our third quarter 2022 conference call. Joining me on today's call is Wayne Gingrich, Chief Financial Officer. Bird's strategy of diversification, disciplined project selection, and strong execution, combined with our low leverage and significant liquidity, clearly differentiates the company in today's market. These factors, plus the resiliency of our risk-balanced business model, are reflected in our third quarter results. Despite the challenging conditions experienced throughout the pandemic and the first half of 2022, Bird has been able to grow its revenue, deliver improved gross profit and adjusted EBITDA margins, and expand its profitable recurring revenue streams. Our efforts to date to diversify and increase our self-performed portfolio of work resulted in strong third quarter 2022 financial results. Our One Bird team delivered solid revenue growth of 7.6% for the third quarter, with revenues of $668.2 million, a record for the third quarter. Net income and earnings per share for the period were $14.5 million and 27 cents per share, respectively. We reported adjusted EBITDA of $31.2 million and adjusted earnings of $15.5 million, or 29 cents on a per share basis. In the third quarter, we reported securements and change orders of $731.1 million, leading the company to set a new record for a combined backlog and pending backlog as at September 30. Furthermore, the bidding pipeline remains very healthy across the country, and the value of our cross-selling abilities and diverse national service offering is quite apparent. I'm pleased with our third quarter financial results. While we still have some lingering pandemic-related challenges in the form of regional permitting and supply chain delays, we have a renewed sense of optimism that market conditions are beginning to return to pre-pandemic levels. We reported an adjusted EBITDA margin of 4.7% for the third quarter of 2022, and on a trailing 12-month basis, our adjusted EBITDA margin increased to 4.3%. Overall, while we are content with this performance as we recover from pandemic conditions, one of our strategic priorities is to achieve a higher overall margin profile, and we expect higher earnings performance over the medium to longer term as we continue to grow the business in our diversified platform. I'm confident that the capabilities we have assembled over the past 2 years, particularly with the acquisitions of Stuart Olson and Dagmar, which continue to deliver accretive results, combined with our focus on increased diversification and self-perform work, should result in a higher margin profile over time. Over the past 5 years, Bird has made a concerted effort to diversify our business by end market and geography, de-risk our backlog, and build and maintain a strong balance sheet with significant financial flexibility. We are well positioned to achieve continued revenue growth with active work programs in high demand sectors and expanding recurring revenue streams, as was announced recently with our multi-year environmental remediation contract. We have minimal exposure to lump sum turnkey projects, and our revenue and record combined backlog and pending backlog are made up of a diverse mix of collaborative risk balanced contracts and awards. Our business model has allowed us to better manage inflationary impacts on our cost of construction, resulting in the steady margins we see today, noting that they do remain a strategic priority to further improve over the coming years. We continue to exercise diligence in our management of G&A costs and expect to get leverage on overhead as volumes increase. The company's focus on higher margin potential work, disciplined project selection, and well-executed work programs is set to bolster our profit margin and bottom line growth to deliver steadily improving results in the future. Bird is ideally positioned to invest in operations and acquisitions enabled by our significant financial flexibility and liquidity, and notably low leverage and low net debt. Our disciplined approach to capital allocation, including opportunistic and accretive tuck-in acquisitions and smart investments in technology and productivity measures, set the stage for future performance. Our results today are supported by cross-selling opportunities across the company's diversified service offerings and the accretive performance from recent acquisitions. Bird remains focused on continuing to diversify and grow through M&A, and while the quantum and timing are hard to predict, the goals remain clear: pursuit of tuck-in, specialized or high-margin potential offerings, additional self-perform capabilities, and sound organic growth potential post-acquisition. Bird's environmental, social, and governance programs continues to mature in response to business, client, and industry demands. Our combined suite of services is strategically aligned to help our clients meet their sustainability goals and serve their energy transition projects. The company's existing culture and internal governance, combined with the work over the past few years to build our long-term ESG strategy, ensures internal readiness for forthcoming disclosure requirements. We announced a number of meaningful contract wins during the quarter and subsequent to the quarter end. During the third quarter, we announced key additions to our sustainable energy program with the award of engineering, procurement, and construction contracts for two wind farms located in Alberta, which have a combined rated capacity of over 200 megawatts of renewable energy. This work will largely be self-performed by Bird. We also announced the award of an approximate 200,000 square foot community health center for Covenant Health. This is the first phase of an innovative wellness community planned by the client. The award is valued at approximately $95 million. Subsequent to quarter end, we shared two announcements for future work with Canadian Nuclear Laboratories. We have received limited notice to proceed on our first multi-year task order for the environmental remediation under the Port Hope Area Initiative. This award expands our recurring revenue streams in the energy sector and positions Bird well for additional long-term work from the approximately $1 billion in remediation work required in and around Port Hope. We are also very pleased to announce Bird formalized a strategic delivery partnership agreement with the same client. Part of this agreement includes work underway, such as the Advanced Nuclear Materials Research Center, IPD project, Bird was awarded in a joint venture in 2018. In addition to the work outlined today, the strategic partners are in place to manage future opportunities for the client over the longer term. Overall, our very healthy backlog and ability to acquire new work in competitive markets is positioning us for continued success. This snapshot of projects showcases Bird's diverse and extensive portfolio of projects across the country, as well in a variety of sectors. These projects include the recently completed and primarily self-performed relay building for Bruce Power, as well as the rapid build expansions at Kenora Jail and Thunder Bay Correctional Center in partnership with Stack Modular. We have a growing number of collaborative projects underway, including the Okanagan Indian Band IPD Water System Upgrade Project and the Lloyd Minster Wastewater Treatment Plant. Lake City Studios in British Columbia and Richmond Yards Mixed-Use Tower in Halifax, as well as the York University campus in Ontario and the bundle of schools in Alberta, demonstrate our well-established building capabilities. Utilities work with our one-pass trenching technology is underway in both Canada and the U.S., and we have recently begun work on two wind projects in Alberta. Our commercial systems group provides specialized mechanical, electrical, and data system contracting services across Canada and makes up some of Bird's over 200 electricians. We continue to see significant investment in expansion in electrical infrastructure across North America, as well as in general infrastructure spending. Overall, we are confident in our sustained pipeline of work from coast to coast. We're working on over 417 projects with a combined value of over $7.9 billion. As we have highlighted in the past, we have a significant portfolio of master service agreements and other multi-year service contracts. These MSAs are with clients under long-term contracts, which provide very good visibility to future revenues. The recurring contracts are with pending backlog and are currently valued at over $800 million. We expect to deliver on these contracts over the next 1 to 5 years. This may reduce pending backlog over time as work is performed and as increases are dependent on the timing and extent of renewals and new awards. We recently received notice to proceed on our first multi-year task order for environmental remediation work of nuclear sites, which expands our recurring revenue stream within the energy sector and positions us for future work on one of Canada's largest remediation projects. Bird's power and sustainable energy teams are focused on leveraging Bird's collaborative, innovative, and solutions-focused approach to help our clients meet their sustainability goals and deliver their energy transition projects. I would point out that we are not new to the alternative energy and environmental sectors, as Bird has self-performed a significant number of projects in these sectors over the past number of years, and our expertise in major complex projects spans across Canada. For our buildings teams, the transition to a lower carbon future presents many opportunities to leverage sustainable building solutions, including mass timber and modular, as well as deliver deep energy retrofits, innovative special projects, and smart building technology. Overall, Bird is competitively positioned to deliver innovative and sustainable solutions to our clients. Overall, we're striving to position Bird as a leader in sustainable construction, and I encourage everyone to visit our website to learn more in our 2021 sustainability report. Significant contract awards in the quarter resulted in a record combined backlog and pending backlog. As of September 30th, Bird's backlog and pending backlog was $2.9 billion and $2.1 billion. This compares to its backlog and pending backlog of $3 billion and $1.6 billion at the end of 2021. In all, our backlog and pending backlog provides good visibility into future revenue and growth. The collective demand for Bird's specialized self-performed capabilities in infrastructure, renewables, agri-food production, nuclear, and water, environmental, as well as for an institutional construction capabilities is expected to drive steady growth in 2023 and offset the revenue contributions from the company's LNG Canada Phase 1 work as that phase nears completion. The company remains focused on pursuing the right opportunities and projects that reflect an appropriate risk balance and align with Bird's combined capabilities across the country. Regional permitting delays that we've experienced of late may persist. However, we did receive important project permits for a major project in British Columbia to move ahead in Q3, which was promising, and the company has permits for the majority of its near-term work program. Should impacts persist, this could result in certain projects in backlog being deferred until necessary permits are granted and work programs can commence. Overall, we expect this substantial pipeline of work with a risk profile that largely mimics current revenue and our increasing number of collaborative contracts to uphold the company's strong performance. With that, I'll turn it over to Wayne to go over our financial results.
Thank you, Jerry. Good morning, everyone. For Q3 2022, we reported revenues of $668.2 million, reflecting a 7.6% increase year over year. The increase was driven primarily by organic growth across multiple sectors, which represents over 5% of revenue growth. The remaining increase was driven by the acquisition of Dagmar in September of last year. As Terry mentioned, revenues have been impacted somewhat in Q3 from supply chain and permitting delays, but we're starting to see those issues ease. Gross profit in the third quarter was $58.6 million, or 8.8% of revenues. This compares to $46.4 million, or a 7.5% margin in the third quarter of last year. The increased gross profit margin was driven by strong execution across work programs, as well as disciplined project selection and contributions from Dagmar for the full quarter. General and administration expenses were $35.5 million, or 5.3% of revenues, compared to $29.9 million, or 4.8% of revenues in the third quarter of 2021. This included slightly higher compensation costs, with no CEWS recoveries recorded in the current year, and increases in travel, advertising, and pursuit costs as activity increased to more normal levels. Dagmar costs were also included for the full quarter as opposed to 1 month in 2021. As Q3 2021 was the last period where the company received CEWS recoveries, year-over-year comparisons will become simpler on a go-forward basis. Adjusted EBITDA for the third quarter 2022 was $31.2 million, or 4.7% of construction revenues, compared to $28.6 million, or 4.6% of revenues in the same period of 2021. Adjusted earnings for the quarter was $15.5 million, or 29 cents per share, compared to $13.8 million, or 26 cents per share in the same period last year. On an unadjusted basis, we reported net income of $14.5 million, or 27 cents per share, compared to $12.1 million, or 23 cents per share in Q3 2021. Turning to our year-to-date results, for the 9 months ended September 30, 2022, we reported revenues of $1.7 billion compared to $1.6 billion for the same period in 2021. This represents a 6% increase year over year. Gross profit was $143.7 million compared to $135.4 million in 2021. Year-to-date gross profit margin was 8.4% in 2022 compared to 8.3% in 2021. It's worth noting that 2022 gross profit absorbed impacts from the pandemic earlier in the year, whereas in 2021, Bird received $18.8 million of CEWS recoveries and costs of construction. General and administrative expenses were $97.9 million, or 5.7% of revenue for the first 9 months of 2022, versus $89.9 million, or 5.5% of revenue in the same period in 2021. Similar to gross profit, pandemic impacts have been absorbed in G&A year-to-date, whereas in 2021, the company received $3.1 million in CEWS recoveries of compensation costs. Adjusted EBITDA and adjusted earnings were $70.5 million, or 4.1% of construction revenues, and $30.5 million, or 57 cents per share in the first 9 months of 2022. This compares to adjusted EBITDA and adjusted earnings of $79.7 million, or 4.9% of construction revenues, and $37.9 million, or 71 cents per share, in the comparable period of last year. No recoveries were recorded under CEWS in 2022 versus the aggregate $21.9 million of recoveries recorded between costs of construction and G&A expenses in 2021. Net income and earnings per share were $34.9 million and 65 cents, respectively, for the first 9 months of 2022, compared to $32.9 million and 62 cents per share, respectively, in 2021. Bird's risk balanced work program positions the company well in the current economic climate. The bulk of our contracts are comprised of low to medium risk contracts, with roughly 93% of our year-to-date revenues in the lower two risk categories. These categories encompass IPD, stipulated sum or unit price, and construction management contracts. Given that one of our key priorities over the past few years was to reduce the overall risk profile of the company, we are now keenly focused on maintaining an appropriate balance. While there will be fluctuations based on the mix of work over time, we have increasingly entered into collaborative contracts with our clients to balance the risk transfer between parties. Our diversified and well-balanced contract mix allows us to better manage inflationary impacts on our cost of construction. Turning to our financial position, consistent with our strategic priorities, we continue to maintain our strong balance sheet with a significant financial flexibility and liquidity. During the third quarter, we invested in working capital to support seasonal growth in the business and the company's work program. Operations generated sufficient cash to support growth and working capital for the quarter, and leave us with accessible cash of $19.1 million at the end of the quarter. At the end of the quarter, we had $20 million drawn on a revolving credit facility, funding temporary increases in non-cash working capital, which we expect to repay by the end of the year. We finished the quarter with approximately $117 million of available capacity under our committed syndicated credit facility. Our liquidity measures remain well within our comfort levels at quarter end. Our adjusted net debt to trailing 12-month EBITDA ratio was 0.78 times, while our long-term debt to equity ratio was 26.5%. Bird capital allocation priorities remain the same. We continue to balance our priorities between capital invested in the business, dividends, M&A, and debt repayments. For the third quarter, we generated cash flow from operations before non-cash working capital of $32.4 million. We reinvested $7.7 million by way of CapEx in the quarter and distributed $5.2 million in dividends to shareholders under our monthly dividend program. As we've talked about previously, M&A will remain a key strategic priority. We built a stable and resilient foundation that will allow us to opportunistically acquire businesses to further broaden and diversify our capabilities. Overall, I'm very pleased with our financial strength and our ability to capitalize on opportunities, both organic and inorganic, as well as our respected position within the Canadian construction industry. With that, I'll turn it back to Terry.
Thanks, Wayne. We expect a solid finish to 2022 with considerable demand for Bird services and our focus on strong execution and diligent cost containment. Our strategy of diversification puts us at the heart of important sectors in the Canadian construction industry. Consistent with our strategic priorities, we are focused on maintaining and leveraging our strong balance sheet with significant financial flexibility and liquidity and our disciplined approach to capital allocation. Despite some of the challenges that have emerged this year, we have maintained solid performance and are on track to deliver the priorities outlined in our strategic plan. We have a sizable pipeline of work and a trusted position with our clients and within our end markets. We will build upon our strong and resilient foundation and propel the company forward to grow profitably, to improve overall margin profile, and to increase long-term shareholder value. With that, I'll turn the call back to the operator for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Analysts who wish to ask a question may press star then one on their telephone keypad to join the question queue. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please ensure you lift the handset before pressing any keys. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star then two. Anyone who has a question may press star then one at this time. The first question is from Jacob Bout from CIBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, Jacob.
Maybe the first question here just on some of the drivers of the uptick in gross margin. I know you talked about the greater proportion of the collaborative contract work. You know, what percentage of overall revenue and backlog would be this type of work today? And this higher gross margin, you know, is this, you know, kind of the new normal that we should be thinking about?
Yes, I can take that one, Jacob. So I think if you look at the percentage of our backlog, you know, probably 15 to 20% is going to be of a collaborative nature in terms of contract size. And then in terms of drivers of the gross profit, like it was a very balanced quarter for us. There wasn't one, you know, big uptick on a project or something that drove the results. Like it was pretty broad-based, strong performance across the country and in all of our business units. So, you know, when you think about the gross profit percentage, like these are certainly the gross profit that we have in our backlog and with the new work that we have in pending backlog and the pipeline we see, you know, we certainly see a healthy margin profile. So we certainly expect that to continue or improve. You know, and from a volume perspective, so in terms of the total dollars of gross profit, you know, Q3 is usually our best or second best quarter, you know, between Q3 and Q4. You know, so we expect, you know, strong Q4 here as well, just given all the things that are happening in the business.
And maybe just more of a macro type question. Can you just comment on the mood of your clients? You know, does it differ across you know, industrial, commercial, institutional type clients? And are you seeing much in the way of reworking of projects due to inflationary pressure?
We certainly have seen that, Jacob, but I'd say that, you know, as you move your business into more of a collaborative framework, you know, you have a more of a partnership with your clients, so you work through, and that affected us certainly in the first half, where we're you know, going back and redesigning and coming up with alternative concepts if we had, you know, significant escalations in certain materials. So, but I'd say the mood is, you know, the types of things we're doing are a little more resilient to the nuclear program we've got underway. It's a little more resilient to some of the shorter term pressures. So we're tending to focus a lot on long term with healthy clients, you know, that are blue chip, and we don't face, you know, some of the pressures you might face from a smaller client that, you know, obviously is pressured.
And so the, if I'm reading you correctly, the reworking of some of these projects, more of an issue in the first half than what you saw in the third quarter,
yes,
or what you're seeing in the fourth quarter?
Okay. Yeah, we've worked through, you know, some of that. And generally, you know, we're seeing construction material prices soften and return in the direction of normal levels. We're seeing shipping, you know, channels ease up. So shipping is opening up, which really helps our modular business. So, you know, where we were really constrained for a while, not just in the availability of shipping, but the price of shipping, you know, so a lot of that is normalizing now, and, you know, doesn't appear that direction it's heading is going to go in a different direction anytime soon. So that's good news for us, and it's good news for our clients.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jacob.
Thank you.
The next question is from Chris Murray of ATB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys. Just turning back to the margin question a little bit, you made some comments about the fact that, you know, we're kind of moving back to maybe a new normal now. And we're also, I guess, moving beyond, you know, some of the mechanical issues around calculating margins with the CEWS payments in prior quarters. Just thinking about, you know, where gross margin and EBITDA margins are going to go from this point forward, you know, what's the, when you think about the backlog, what is the magnitude of improvement? And should we kind of be thinking this as an incremental type of move, or is there a reason to believe that there could be kind of a step function into 23?
I think there's a bit of step function into 23 and, you know, continuing to strengthen into 24. We're really pleased with the team that we've assembled, and that team certainly has the capacity to handle higher revenue than, you know, we're currently, you know, contracting. So I think we'll get leverage, you know, in that sense, because the projects that are in our wheelhouse now are, you know, are evolving and growing. And like I said, you know, it's there'll be leverage off, you know, certainly overheads, you know, in that regard. But, you know, our strategic goal, you know, to continue to grow organically, and we've made significant strides in that direction with increased self-perform, you know, capabilities. And as that continues to grow in these types of contracts that we're in, we're expecting higher margin returns. And so it's going to be a mix. And then lastly, the M&A side, you know, there certainly has been an uptick in activity recently from much higher levels of opportunities in the third quarter than what we've seen in the first half of 2022. So, you know, there's lots happening there as well, which is exciting, and we'll see what makes sense for us. But so there's just a mix of things, I guess, to answer your question, Chris, but we expect improvements in 23 and continued improvements in 24.
Okay. Fair enough. And then going back to the C&L contract, so trying to maybe understand a little bit about what the nature of this is going to be. Should we be thinking about this as kind of a larger bucket of recurring revenue, almost like an MSA, where we'll be just kind of doing remediation work with just different call-offs, and then maybe separate contracts to construct certain assets and those will be a little lumpier. So, I mean, I think in the MD&A, you talked about the fact that this could be a 10-year program, you know, plus type of thing. You know, there's billions of dollars, I think you indicated, in the project budgets. in aggregate. Just some thoughts around how do we think about this longer term, and is there any risk about concentration? You know, energy's been notoriously cyclical, so how do you think about all that?
So it is, you know, there's a significant scale to this. It's early days, you know, and obviously as we're evolving, we've been working with CNL now since 2018. As you know, we secured the 12 hot cell and laboratory up in Chalk River and announced that, and that entered in a backlog in Q4 of 2021. So, but that. You know, that relationship and that partnership has, you know, has evolved, and we've been working on, you know, the Port Hope remediation. We've recently announced, and CNL announced, that they've struck this broader overriding sort of partnership for all of their work, of which we're one of their key contractors. And you look at, you know, the number of sites, you know, the Port Hope work that we announced this week is 400 sites that we've been assigned to begin to work on and design and work through the logistics on those sites. That's 400 sites of over 4,000 sites, just to give you order of magnitude. And it's part of this, you know, billion-dollar program, of which there are three MSA contractors, and we're one of those. But there's other sites as well that we're in the middle of, you know, in discussions and in procurement on. You know, obviously Douglas Point up at Bruce is another site, you know, that's part of this program. The Pinawa site in Manitoba, we're working on, you know, the framework of that project with, you know, some advanced electronics and robotics that's underway, and, you know, we'll be in that work, you know, evolving in 23. So, you know, if you go back to Chalk River, you know, there's billions of dollars being spent on facilities up there, a very large campus. So this kind of thing just goes with a lot of resilience. There's not much of a cycle that affects this kind of thing. I think this will be bigger than the MSA type work we have over time. It'll just take some time for this to evolve, but there's a significant scale to this, and it'll go on for at least 10 years.
All right, that's helpful. Thank you.
The next question is from Mark Stubing with TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Mark on the line here for Michael. Congratulations on the quarter. Your outlook commentary this quarter appears much more encouraging than what was communicated last quarter. I was wondering if you could discuss some of the main drivers to sort of your renewed optimism and confidence in the outlook relative to sort of what you were seeing 3 months ago.
Well, certainly, you know, as we came through the second quarter, you know, the labor disruptions that were occurring, you know, in Ontario and in BC, when you think about it, there's a duration of the labor disruption that occurs when the, you know, when the workforce is physically on strike, and then there's another duration that can take weeks to get things remobilized. So we had a larger impact than we anticipated, certainly in the second quarter, with a lot of that, and sometimes that, you know, obviously is difficult to define exactly what that impact is, and it takes some time to fully understand that. So it took some time to fully understand into the third quarter the impact that created. And, you know, we had a series of projects that had, you know, delays in permitting. And the permitting aspect of Canadian construction is a little bit like the airlines, where, you know, the workforce that is in the permitting side of the business, you know, works in government, and not dissimilar to permits and security clearances for, you know, airline workers, things like that. You know, there's a significant backlog, and it got, you know, it wasn't keeping up to the demand. So it took a while for those agencies to work through that backlog because of the disruption of their world, where they were working, trying to work remote and that kind of thing. So that, you know, has created. So we're starting to now in the third quarter to see those backlogs ease. And there's still some isolated markets where we're still seeing, you know, some impacts that it's flowing through, but we're seeing more easing, and that gives us confidence that we're going in a good direction with some of this, so that's improving. I'd say that in any quarter at any period of time, you're working on a lot of initiatives, and you know the ebb and flow and the timing ebbs and flows, and the some of the projects we were developing were experiencing escalations or back to the drawing board redesigning. So when you start to see material costs start to soften, it certainly gives you again, it gives you that light at the end of the tunnel that, okay, we're getting through this and we'll be able to contract and get moving, get in the ground, and clients are moving forward. So it's a series of things. Certainly, it was a perfect storm at the end of second quarter as we're reporting those results. And as such, we were weren't clear whether we were going to continue to have that lagging effect into Q3. And we didn't see a real clear line of sight to that until well into the end of August. Hence the strength, and our work platforms are getting in the ground, revenue's growing. So and it's been a lot of hard work. Our team has worked tremendously hard to get to where we are, and we're very pleased with the direction we're going and continuing to improve our performance.
That's great color. Thank you. I wanted to touch on your Western Canada operations quickly here. Your energy business in particular, we've seen energy prices sort of remain elevated here for somewhat of an extended period of time now. I was wondering if you could discuss any impacts you're seeing on your oil and gas operations, and as we enter 2023 here, what your outlook for that part of the business would be.
Yeah, we've had really strong demand from our clients in the oil and gas side. And the majority of that activity is on the oil side, is on the maintenance side with all of our electrical activities and mechanical activities. But we've had very strong demand. I think the offering we have, the complexity, our safety performance. It's in Canada, construction safety is a major focal point, and we've had really strong performance, and the teams have worked hard to deliver that performance. So our demand's been quite high. In fact, we haven't had much capacity to do new things outside of oil and gas, and we've had to be careful what we've been targeting because the demand's been high. But generally speaking, LNG's been a great program for us. We've had really good success there, continue to have some opportunities evolving, but we're on the back end of that first phase and getting close to, moving through that. So I'm really pleased with the way we've diversified the platform into other projects and other markets, and there's the activity is pretty high in the West, and I think part of that is the strength of oil and gas, but government coffers are obviously strong with royalty revenues and whatnot, but we're also seeing a lot of agricultural activity, a lot of renewable activity. Alberta's done a really nice job with diversifying their economies and renewables and ag, and so lots going on. Lots of support from government, lots of support from the Infrastructure Bank on some of these initiatives. So, some good, exciting things. Hydrogen's around the corner. I think we're feeling blessed with our opportunities in the West.
Great. Thanks for your time.
Once again, analysts who wish to ask a question may press star, then one. The next question is from Frederic Bastien with Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Good morning. You discussed wanting to do more tuck-in acquisitions down the road. What do these targets look like, and what would they bring to the Bird?
Well, the big thing is to increase that self-perform, capability. That's a big key. And, to allow us to, as you work with clients that are looking for, collaborative ways to do business, they obviously have a very strong focus on, the execution of the project, the safety, the performance, the schedule, the cost, and having a larger self-perform, capability gives that client more comfort to do business with us. So we're very, very much focused in those areas. And in the same breath, we're growing organically on many of our existing platforms, and I think we've really made some tremendous progress around the One Bird collaborative initiative across the company. So our different entities are working together. If one of our groups has a specialized skill set of self-performing mass timber erection, well, that group is involved. If we're in a market that doesn't have that experience. So we're doing a lot of that kind of thing. So all of the focus we have in M&A is really to augment that and add new, you know, areas where we don't have that capability internally, and but also to grow in areas that have exciting market opportunities. You know, we have 2,000 electricians go to work for us every day and predominantly focus on commercial institution buildings and also focus on, you know, oil and gas and that side of the business and the maintenance side. So we're very focused on, you know, expanding our capabilities on electrification and in that sort of space in between where there's a lot of projects that are evolving. There's lots going on. So very focused there. The whole area of communications and utilities, we're working in 10 states in the U.S. on underground utilities. A lot of that's in renewable, but a lot of it's also in communications and technology, where we're working in various states, putting fiber optic, you know, product in the ground for clients and things like that. So it's also an area we'd like to add more capacity. So, you know, I think if you look at the kinds of things we're doing, it's really just to grow and expand that capability, both with M&A and organically. We've added some real strength in leadership with the Dagmar team coming on board. We've really leveraged that business into many new things. We've added new leaders, you know, with our overall civil horizontal infrastructure team. So, yeah, some really good things happening.
Thanks, Terry. It's obvious you're seeing good momentum across the board here, but that perhaps the exception that I noted was with Stack Modular. Can you speak to how that business is progressing and what sort of opportunities it's contemplating going forward?
Yeah, so we've been developing projects. Stack has always been a kind of a startup almost, where you're really changing the narrative in terms of how a project gets built, because you've got to lock that design down a year in advance and move things through the system, which is not normal. Like, we've been building construction for hundreds of years with, you know, bricks and mortar, and so if you're going to do something now in a plant and ship it, it's a big change. So that's hurt us, you know, that's taken us a little longer. I think the dynamics of complex shipping logistics has hurt us, because, you know, and the pricing of that shipping has hurt us, but a lot of that's coming down now and returning to normal. So that's opening up the opportunities. The projects we've completed, we had a successful completion in Ontario with Infrastructure Ontario on the correctional facilities up in northwestern Ontario. That's been, you know, the client's very pleased with that. Premier's very pleased with that build. So we've had good success, you know, there. And but we're not quite at a level where we're getting enough revenue, but we are optimistic. We're doing some things internationally and working in you know, more of a supply arrangement in various countries, just supplying units. So that's picking up steam. So, it's still going to take a few years, I think, for the business to become more commonplace in the market. And because it's currently more of a specialized sort of option. And it's going to take longer for the education to settle into clients that, you know, this is a great way to build, because it's, you know, it cuts your schedule. It's got a different profile. It's got a different, you know, it's got a different cash profile in terms of how it's structured. So all those things take time to get in the marketplace. It's small enough that it doesn't hurt us a whole lot, you know, as it evolves. But I think in 2022, the shipping challenges and the shipping costs were certainly a detriment to us.
Okay. Appreciate the comments. Good job on the quarter, and looking forward to seeing more good results going forward. Thanks.
Thanks, Ron.
This concludes the question and answer session. I will hand the call back over to Mr. McKibben for closing remarks.
Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to join our third quarter earnings conference call. I'd like to thank the entire Bird team for their efforts, dedication, and commitment to build safely, to build together, and build value for our company, our clients, our communities, and our shareholders. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.